decided to look through the book of Hebrews at the word better. It's found 13 times. I combined one of them, or two of the better words, in one verse. Point number six in your notes. The word better is found twice in that same verse, so I just counted that as one number, but it's really 13 times in the book of Hebrews. So in future lessons, I'm not going to take one sermon per word. We'll combine a couple of them together as time permits. But tonight, just by way of introduction, instead of just reading the singular verse where the word better is found, I want to read the context of that verse. And so tonight I'm just going to read to you, and you can follow along, and so you get the whole kind of like the whole picture. But I'm just going to do Bible reading tonight. When you look at the word better, and I put that in your notes, just means to a greater or higher extent, surpass, superior, more excellent, it's more favorable, standing above something else. So we'll note the contrast. One thing is better than another. And so we'll note that in our reading. So I'll take each in turn. So from the book of Hebrews. First one is in Hebrews chapter 1. I'll begin at verse 1. You can see in verse 4, that's where the word better is. I put that in your highlighted that in your notes. But I want to read the section. It begins in Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, still referring to Jesus, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made himself purged, had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, even a name better than the angels. Verse 5, here's the reason why. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You're my son"? Never said that to an angel. "Today I've begotten you." And again, "I'll be to him a father. He shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." So Jesus is better than the angels. It's interesting, the first song Dennis led tonight, the second stanza, had the phrase, and I can't remember it. Look up that song again, Dennis, your first song.
The first song was "God is so good."
No, tonight. Oh, listen to our wondrous story.
Yeah, right.
What number is it?
496.
Look it up for me really quick, please. The second stanza.
No angel could his place have taken.
There you go. So no angel could his place have taken. Jesus is better than the angels. That has a reference to that phrase. The second time the word better is used, Hebrews chapter 6. Key phrases in verse 9, the word better, but verses 6 through 9. It says, "But beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you." All right, so there's something that we need to do that's better. "Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God's not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward his name, in that you've ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end." We'll stay in there. "That you do not become sluggish, But imitate, oh, I like that. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Okay. So, beloved, we expect or are confident of better things. And then he mentioned, it's your work and your labor of love, okay, in that you minister. We expect that better things. Next one, number three, is in Hebrews chapter 7. It's in verse 7, but I want to read. I'm going to go back to chapter 6, verse 19. Chapter 6, verse 19. Two verses before we get to chapter 7. Book of Hebrews. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and, key phrase, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. That is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. I mean the genealogy. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Interesting. We'll come to that when we'll talk about Melchizedek a little bit. All right, so the word better is used again in Hebrews chapter 7, still in chapter 7, now verses 18 and 19. For on the one hand, there's an annulling of the former commandment, meaning the Old Testament, because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Better hope is that we can draw near to God. Still in chapter 7, the next word better begins in chapter 20, verses 20 through 24. So now, the greatness of the new priest. So, verse 20. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. I remember all those things about Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Better the old covenant, had its weaknesses, faults, but the new covenant is better. Also, there were many priests. Here's another reason why the new covenant is better. There were also many priests, that's under the old covenant, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, meaning Jesus, because he continues forever, as an unchangeable priesthood. Still high priest. Right. The next time the word is used, in Hebrews chapter 8, beginning of verse 6. Something else is better again. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, meaning Jesus, inasmuch as he also is also mediator of a better covenant. That's what he just mentioned. Which was established on better promises. For if, and he continues about what's the problem with the old covenant. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So even the prophecy back in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, was told there would be the days are coming, I'll make a new covenant. So Jesus is the mediator back in verse 8 of a better covenant established on better promises. Right? Then the next one, I need to change my page. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning of verse 18. Or verse 23 is our word better, but I want you to see the context or hear it. Verse 18, Hebrews chapter 9. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. Meaning, the first covenant was dedicated with blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then, likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So we're going to see the contrast between old and new law when we go back through these. Next one, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 in verses 32 through 40 have the word better twice. I'm not sure I've have written my notes correctly here. Okay. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
It is 10.
Yeah. Okay, I got it now. Okay, I turned the wrong way. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, meaning came to the truth, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you made a spectacle both by reproaches, tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. So everybody was in that persecution. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Oh my, really? You think about the torture, the persecution of the Christians. You rejoiced? So it said this. Why did they do that? Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Oh, so there's something better, a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. So don't put your trust in possessions. You know, they could be, if we're suffering persecution, they would be gone. So then now chapter 11, verse 13, beginning of verse 13. These are those heroes, we call them those heroes of faith. And there's a whole list of Old Testament characters that did the will of God. And so now and the Hebrew writer recalls them and says, copy that. Copy their faith and what happened to them. So Hebrews 11, beginning of verse 13. These all died in faith, but not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, faith, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We have songs like that tell that story. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return, but they didn't. But now, verse 16, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Remember some of the songs we sing? You know, one of the old books, Every Day I'm Camping Toward Canaan's Land, not literally Canaan, but the heavenly Canaan. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Well, that's the text that we just read right there. We're looking for a heavenly country. We're marching to Zion. You can probably think of, here we are. What's the song about the pilgrims?
Straying pilgrims.
Here we are, but straying pilgrims. Yeah. So this verse just, you know, I'll mention that a little bit more when I get to it in our series. All right. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning of verse 32. And there are two betters in this one. In verse 35, a better resurrection. And in verse 40, God's provided something better for us than those who are not godly. We get something better. So beginning of verse 32, Hebrews chapter 11. And what more shall I say? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, here it is, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Meaning they say, if you abandon your faith, we'll deliver you from the torture. But they didn't accept deliverance from the torture. That they might obtain a better resurrection. You know, Jesus said, in the resurrection in John chapter 5, I can't remember the verse, but it says, just came to me and then I can't remember it. But Jesus said, there's a resurrection of life and then a resurrection of death. In John chapter, I think it's in John chapter 5, close to the middle or the end. So they didn't abandon their faith that they might have a better resurrection. So it says, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, here's the reason, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So the Old Testament people, they didn't receive the promise. They looked forward to it. And here we are in that same situation. We're looking forward to it, so that all the old people, Old Testament people, and the New Testament people might go in together. All right, and I'll give you more explanation on that as we go through the series. Then is there one more? Hebrews chapter 12, beginning of verse 18. Reference to the Old Testament people coming to Mount Sinai, and we come to the proverbial New Testament mountain. So here it is, the Hebrew writer is telling these New Testament Christians, you've not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire, and to blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Because when they went to Mount Sinai, they thought, boy, if God speaks directly to us, we'll die. So he said, we're not coming to that mountain. So verse 20, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. Don't touch the mountain in the Mount Sinai, in the Old Testament. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come, here it is, you have come to Mount Zion. And let's note the word to, T-O. Look at the, I'm going to keep reading, but look at the number of things that we have come to. All right, I'm in verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. I wonder what better things are than that of Abel. So, all right. And the Hebrew writer mentions to another place, the blood of Abel yet speaks. And what does the blood of Abel say? There's an acceptable way to worship. Cain didn't bring the acceptable sacrifice. The blood of Abel still speaks. Speaks that. Was that the last one? Mm-hmm. All right. Kind of long. Sometimes I just can't read without commenting. It's just hard for me to do that. I just have to stop and chew on some things. All right, so I'm glad you're here this evening. So we'll go through the book of Hebrews and look at these better things in lessons to come, Lord willing. I'll give you an outline for them, a little explanation of what's better. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of invitation. I use the word song of exhortation. If you're here tonight and not a member of the New Testament church, you have that opportunity to be on God's side, God's way. And so as Jesus said in Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So he commands the disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name, by the heavenly authority, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So there's the last words of Jesus before he ascended back to the Father, were to the disciples, tell everybody a good news message that they can be on God's side if they do it God's way. So that's the message we preach and we present at the close of each lesson. It was number, Dennis, what was the number of that invitation song?
912.
912. So let's stand again.